IDF warning shots fired at EU diplomats on the occupied West Bank. Could this build backing for EU trade sanctions on Israel? Greenhouse gas emissions hit a historic low according to the latest report. Has Ireland turned a corner? And the man who said niet to the housing czar job faces the Oireachtas Finance Committee. All that and more on tonight's Late Debate. Joining me on the programme tonight are Catherine Callaghan, Fine Gael TD for Carlo Kilkenny, Donacha O'Leary, Sinn Féin TD for Cork South Central and the party spokesperson on Foreign Affairs and Defence, Paul Murphy, People Before Profit Solidarity TD for Dublin South West, and Gabby Agatovitskaita, political correspondent with Independent Newspapers. Now, we do want to hear from you too. Please do get in touch, particularly if you'd like to draw up a wish list for the decoration of your dream Dáil office. If you read Ken Fox's story in the papers today, you might have seen that some incoming TDs requested, among other things, a lazy boy recliner, turquoise paint with some yellow stripes, full-length mirrors, tabletop fridges, while others understandably just asked the nice people in the Oireachtas Services Department to make the nasty smell from the radiator go away. So do get your wish list in. Text us on 51551. WhatsApp us on 0870 32 32 32. Find us on Blue Sky at Late Debate RTE. And you can also watch the programme if you want, rte.ie/radio1, or we're live now on the RTE News channel. Gabby, we heard there in the news the Taoiseach talking about the shots fired on the West Bank, warning shots, according to the Israeli military. They said they regretted inconvenience caused by the shooting, but it's provoked a bit of an international storm.
Yes, so we know that Irish officials have delivered what is called a demarche, which is basically a line of diplomatic action, to the Israeli government to strongly condemn that incident in which two Irish diplomats were fired at. They were there as part of a delegation in the West Bank. Now, those two diplomats are confirmed as safe. Tánaiste Simon Harris, he was in touch with Féile McLaughlin, who is the representative of Ireland to the Palestinian National Authority. He was involved in the incident earlier today, and he's conveyed his full support and best wishes to him and his team. There was also a senior official in the Department of Foreign Affairs. They've been in touch with Israel's non-resident ambassador to Ireland, Dana Ehrlich, to deliver the strongest condemnation and concerns over the incident. And Ms. Ehrlich also informed that Ireland regards the incident to be a clear breach of obligations under international law with regards to protection of diplomats. And the ambassadors also told that what happened today should not be called an inconvenience, as you're referencing it there in the headline. And of course, they expressed for what happened, Simon Harris saying he's shocked and appalled at those reports.
All right. Let's get the reaction from the panel. And to that, those Israeli remarks and the claims that the delegation, this is a quote, deviated from the approved route, prompting troops to fire what they call warning shots to keep them away from what they say was an area they were not authorised to be. Catherine Callaghan, you first.
Well, as a former UN peacekeeper who has been in, maybe not in Gaza, but certainly in Lebanon, I mean, it's completely unacceptable that Israel would fire on diplomats. They have special protection. And not only that, they did have permission to be there. It wasn't as if the Israeli Defence Forces weren't expecting to see them there. So this notion that they sent warning shots in their direction is just totally unacceptable. And I'm in some ways I'm lost for words at something like this unfolding. It's just incomprehensible in many ways.
Right. I mean, as a former peacekeeper who served in South Lebanon, are you that shocked? Because, you know, people operating under the blue flag have come under fire from the Israeli Defence Forces and their proxies in the South Lebanese Army as well.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you know, other militant groups like Palestinian militant groups and Shia militant groups there as well.
Yeah, well, like actually in my past life, I was shot at once as well by the Hezbollah, which was a whole different story altogether. But I suppose maybe I'm shocked that it's come to this, that they would fire at diplomats. You know, there's just no excuse for that.
All right, and Donacha O'Leary, your reaction. I'll come back about what should be done next, but just give us your reaction first to this.
Well, obviously, I think it is appalling, and I'm glad the two diplomats, the Irish diplomats, indeed all the diplomats, are safe. There is no excuse for it. The idea that just because, and obviously I wasn't on the ground, I don't know whether agreed paths, non-agreed paths, whatever, but that's no excuse to start firing shots by any manner of means, and it's a fairly standard and internationally agreed protocol that diplomats are above the fray and all that kind of stuff. But I've contacted the Department of Foreign Affairs to extend I suppose my best wishes to those affected, because it is, and you know, we're grateful to our diplomats. They do a tough job in situations like this under risk. But what I think as well is it's symptomatic. It's symptomatic. Like, I mean, this is an Israeli government that thinks it's beyond reproach. It thinks it's beyond consequence. It thinks it has impunity. And that's true whether it comes to attacks on diplomats, Irish or anywhere else. But it's also true in relation to carrying out what are war crimes in terms of depriving a civilian population of food, of medical equipment, in terms of ignoring the International Criminal Court. It just simply thinks it is beyond any consequence, beyond any international law. And it's been encouraged to do so by the EU and the United States, who refuse to sanction it appropriately.
Okay. And we will get to those statements that were made in Gaza and in the Dáil this afternoon. But Paul Murphy, firstly, your reaction to that incident on the occupied West Bank.
It's obviously horrendous. It underlines the point that there are no rules that Israel will not break. It should remind us that the enforced starvation that's happening in Gaza, alongside that is still significant oppression, attacks on people in the West Bank. This happened in Jenin in the West Bank, rather than in Gaza. So, like, the kind of all-out attempt of ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians is continuing. And this is also a regime that just 2 weeks ago attacked a boat carrying humanitarian aid in international waters with drones. Again, just wildly outside anything that is acceptable within international law.
I mean, it's widely suspected that the drone originated from Israel, but there is no definitive proof as yet. I think a Hercules C-130 was seen in the area prior to the drone attack, but it hasn't been proven that it was an Israeli drone.
Yeah.
Sure,
but
that's...
Fine. But
that's the factual
position. Here we are for 18 months, and you remember at the start, they tried to deny they were targeting hospitals, for example, which is clearly a war crime. Now they target hospitals with impunity. They have no problem admitting that they're targeting hospitals. They have no problem admitting that they want to expel everybody from Gaza, that they consider everyone, woman, child, man, all to be guilty, all to be members of Hamas. Like... You know, the idea that anyone cannot call what's happening a genocide, it just flies in the face of all the evidence that we're seeing, which incredibly gets worse day by day.
OK. And the EU, Catherine Gallen, and indeed the government here have called for an investigation into this shooting incident in Jenin. But I'm looking at the latest figures from Yesh Din. That's an Israeli organisation that provides legal aid to Palestinians. It found that in military investigations, 1.5% of investigations of soldier offences against Palestinians led to the filing of indictments. And that's, you know, I think it's 0.4 led to any form of prosecution. So, I mean, calling for an investigation may not lead to a satisfactory outcome.
But it is an important first step to take. You know, we can't be seen to be sitting back and not doing anything about it. So, I mean, we still obey the rules and, you know, carry ourselves, I guess, with integrity. And it's important that as a group, from the EU, that we do call for an investigation into this. And I don't think it will stop at that, but that's where it has to start.
Okay. Gabby, take us through what was said during statements on Gaza and the Dáil this afternoon.
Yes, so we had statements on Gaza this afternoon. Certainly the most newsworthy part, I think, was Taoiseach Simon Harris announcing, if you will, that he's going to bring proposals to Cabinet next week around the occupied territories and the banning of imports from those areas. We know, of course, Senator Francis Black's Occupied Territories Bill. The government believes that it is unconstitutional, and so it has said that it's going to come up basically with its own version, and so that's what it has done. Simon Harris is in charge of that, and he's saying that he didn't say, to be fair, like that laws will be, you know, brought to Cabinet next week. He's saying a memorandum will be brought to Cabinet next week, so some sort of proposals and plans. Also, I think it's important to say Taoiseach Micheál Martin speaking to his parliamentary party tonight, saying that what is happening in Gaza is an apocalypse. We saw quite strong remarks also in the Dáil from Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald, who's of course calling for the sale of Israeli bonds through the Irish Central Bank to be banned. Sinn Féin are bringing forward legislation on that.
Okay, we'll get to the Labour motion in a minute, but let's just deal with that specific issue of the bonds, because post-Brexit, the bonds which were sold in London are now sold through the Irish Central Bank in Dublin. And on the 3rd of April last month, Pascal Donoghue said Ireland can only refuse the approval of a prospectus where it has a legal basis to do so, where the documentation meets the standards of the regulation. The Central Bank is required to approve a prospectus. This is the advertisement for the sale of these bonds. He went on to say it's the position of the Central Bank as set out by the Governor that an advisory opinion of the ICJ, the International Court of Justice, or indeed the processes of the International Criminal Court do not constitute grounds for the Central Bank to refuse the prospectus of the Israeli bonds programme. I do not intend introducing legislation that forbids the Central Bank of Ireland to fulfil its regulatory duties. Donoghue Laoghaire, you want that legislation introduced, is that correct?
Well, we will be introducing it, it was introduced today, we hope to table it very shortly, possibly next week, for debate and to be voted upon. What has been said in the record there, it's contrary to the advice that we have received from the Office of the Parliamentary Legal Advice, but also even the leaked advice of the Attorney General, says the state could successfully invoke a justification grounded on public policy based in particular on the need to promote respect for international law and the fundamental rights of those adversely affected by its breach. It would be public policy that would be manifestly consistent with that of the EU broadly as regards the illegality of the Israeli settlements in the occupied territories, and one that would be fully consistent with international law. So that's coming from the Attorney General. I think this is on strong legal ground. There is a political argument, and we will have that argument. And, you know, in recent weeks where the issue, as opposed to the bill, was raised both with the Central Bank and the minister said it was the Central Bank's job. The Central Bank has said, that's a political decision. So
they operate under the current legislative framework until that changes. Catherine Callan, might the government be minded to change their position on this? I mean, that was the beginning of April when Pascal Donoghue said that the situation has even changed since then.
Well, I suppose it would be wrong of me to try and preempt what the Cabinet will decide to do should the legislation they will do in terms of this. I mean, I do agree with Pascal. He can't do anything that would prevent the Central Bank from completing its regulatory duties. I mean, that's plain and simple, you know, that's a fact. But let's see what happens next week when the motion comes to the House and it can be discussed from there.
Okay. Although
I think just briefly, Colm, the fundamental point though is Micheál Martin's talking about apocalyptic scenes. Mm-hmm. Ireland has to be looking at what levers it can pull in terms of influence.
Okay. I want to get Paul Murphy.
Do, and this is one.
You support this, Paul Murphy, do you? The initiative to ban the Central Bank from selling Israeli bonds.
Absolutely. And I had an engagement with Pascal Donoghue on this maybe a month ago. And in a sense, the government is kind of tied by its own argument. On the one hand, they will say that the Central Bank cannot do it under the current legislation. That is disputed by academics, by campaigners who say, for example, the fact that the genocide is ongoing isn't included in the prospectus from the Israelis would say that's a basis for not going ahead. But if the government's saying that we can't do it under the current basis, well, then that's the reason to change the law.
And his stated position as of the beginning of April is, I do not intend introducing legislation that forbids the Central Bank of Ireland to fulfil its regulatory duties.
Exactly. So we have, on the one hand, talk by the government of apocalyptic scenes, correct, angry condemnations of the war crimes being carried out by Israel. But on the other hand, a government that is saying we are going to continue to authorise the sale of these bonds, which are explicitly used for war purposes, for genocidal purposes, we're going to continue to authorise them for sale across the European Union. And that's a fundamental contradiction. You know, the chasm between the words and the actions of the government is getting bigger and bigger as the words are becoming stronger and the action is not following. I mean, this makes the Irish government and the Irish Central Bank complicit in the genocide if we're allowing it to be funded through our Central Bank.
The Irish government can't pass a law that would prevent the Central Bank from completing its regulatory duty.
Why not? We set the laws.
Yeah, but they can't, not within the framework that it currently is.
The IPLA says it can be done. The advice from the Attorney General says it can be done. Of course
we can do it. But is it as straightforward as changing the law? So before Brexit, it was the UK that...
That sold the bonds.
I think that sold the Israeli bonds. Correct. And now Ireland took over that responsibility. So would it be the case that maybe Ireland would have to go to Brussels and say, well, actually, we don't want to do this anymore. You'll have to find somebody else.
No, we can say to Israel, we're not doing it anymore. And then Israel can go and find someone else within the European Union. That's open to them. But we don't participate in that. And we have the capacity to do that. Again, the OPLA advice, which Piers Doherty got, which I've read, is clear on that.
Office of the Parliamentary Legal Advisory.
Yeah. And the Attorney General advice that is leaked on the Ditch website is also clear in terms of that.
OK. Gabby, take us through the Labour motion, because there's a number of matters that they want done on an international diplomatic level. Did you I'll go to the panel on this. The Labour Party wants the government to take action at a UN General Assembly level, Catherine Callan. They want an initiative that was devised in the 1950s when there was stasis in the Security Council on a number of issues, the Korean War, the crisis over the Suez invasion, that the General Assembly would constitute a peacekeeping mission and deploy peacekeepers on the ground in Gaza. Would the government be minded to back that motion?
Well, once again, it would be wrong of me to preempt a cabinet discussion, I suppose.
Would you offer a personal opinion?
I would say that my personal opinion is that Ireland has been very active with other countries already, and we recognise the state of Palestine with Norway and Spain way back in May last year. Actually, it's coming up to a year, I think the 28th of May for the anniversary of that. And like in June 24, the International Court of Justice did deliver an advisory opinion on that, and the Attorney General on behalf of the government made an oral submission. So, the government has already delivered and done an awful lot of what the opposition has called for. We have co-sponsored a resolution adopted by the UN General Assembly on the 18th of September, which seeks to implement the court's advisory opinion that I just mentioned. And just to reiterate, it would be wrong of me to preempt a cabinet discussion.
OK. You know? Paul Murphy will... Donna Colera, I'll go to you first, because Paul Murphy spoke more recently. The Labour motion, will you be backing it?
We will, yeah. I think, again, the catastrophic apocalyptic scenes that we're seeing demonstrates the fact that the international community as a whole, obviously primarily the powerful and wealthy countries in Europe and the United States, have failed to intervene and exert enough pressure. So I do think it's important that the General Assembly asserts itself. The motion, as far as I'm aware, I've seen it briefly, but obviously I have to examine it again, but it commits to a number of other things. But yes, I think it does need to be escalated. And I think it's worth reflecting on the fact that there is a shift happening internationally, and I welcome the change or the review that's happening. I mean, too little, too late, but what I'm more interested in what it reflects is the fact that more and more countries that previously would have been staunch allies of Israel are maybe beginning to gradually wake up, and even people in the Conservative Party in Britain that you would never have associated with raising issues in relation to Palestine. So, in the long run, maybe that's encouraging. The problem is we don't got a long run. You know, we are facing a situation where children are potentially dying on a daily basis because of starvation. Right. So while the ground is shifting internationally, and that's welcome, there is an urgency to all of this. And therefore, in that context, yes, the Irish government should be using every avenue possible.
And if there was sufficient support drummed up at the UN General Assembly, that's one thing. But the peacekeepers getting a mandate and being allowed into Gaza would be a separate issue. So this is an exercise, Paul Murphy, really in diplomatic pressure rather than a practical step towards deploying peacekeepers on the ground.
Well, I think in the circumstances where we've seen a year and a half of slaughter, and now where you have the UN saying 14,000 babies are days away from death by starvation, there's an onus on every single person who knows about this, everyone, to do whatever they can to try and stop it. And most people can't do all that much. They can go to a protest, that's valuable. They can sign a petition, they can contact. But I really think there's an onus on everybody to do everything that you can. And if you don't do that, you're kind of morally failing as a person to be aware of what is happening and not do something. It's a basic expression of humanity. And so this is something that we can do to try and exert pressure on an international level. There also are things that can be done by the Irish government nationally that we need to do. So the Occupied Territories Bill, yes, in a sense, welcome that we're now going to get a memo. I'm very concerned that it's still going to be drawn out. I'm very concerned they're going to try and water it down to carve out services.
Are you hearing anything in terms of private briefings, Gabby, off-the-record briefings, that would indicate to you that maybe there is a greater willingness to push forward with this. I mean, the public statements on it would seem to indicate that. But have some of the worries about the international diplomatic impact gone away in light of recent events?
No, they haven't at all. And I will say there is a bit of a debate going on over the goods or the services that are included within the Occupied Territories Bill or whatever version the government brings forward. But like, it is the expectation privately amongst ministers that this will be, for the lack of a better phrase perhaps, or maybe it's very accurate, a watered down version of whatever Francis Black is bringing forward, because I think there is a recognition there that Ireland is very outspoken on Palestine, that we're already doing a lot, but when it makes life even harder for us, perhaps in the White House, than it already is, why bring forward a very contentious piece of legislation? Now, the government publicly will reject that and say, well, no, this is very strong on what's happening in Gaza and so on. But like, you know, there's a reason why Francis Black's bill is not being brought in, and the government will say it's unconstitutional. But like, to go back and to totally come up with your own legislation, clearly you have significant issues with what is being proposed in the first place.
All right.
Well, I think the point is that the government, when that bill is passed, that it stands up to scrutiny. I mean, there's a way of doing things. Like, we either do things quickly or we do things properly in a way that
this isn't quickly. I mean,
I do appreciate.
2018.
But just even as a general rule, that's what we have to do when a party is in government. They have to do things not in the quickest way, but in the way that takes into account all possible connotations and effects, and, you know, even right. unintended
Is it all just legal, though, or are there diplomatic concerns, those concerns about relations with the US? I mean, is it solely a matter of the how legally watertight the bill is and whether or not it'll be open to challenge in the ECJ?
Well, that has to be at the very centre of it. That has to be, like, the guiding principle in it. Like, if it's not going to stand up to scrutiny, you know, in the ICJ, then it's not the correct bill to put forward in that connotation. Like, yesterday I met Senator Frances Black and I had a really good conversation with her about the Occupied Territories Bill. And this notion that the government don't want to proceed with it, that we'd rather sit on our hands and not enact something that would help the people of Palestine is completely false. I mean, we have been very vocal from the start and the message has been very clear from Simon Harris and the government that we are calling and have been consistently calling for a cessation of violence in Gaza. We've been calling for the supply of aid, of humanitarian aid, back into Gaza. We have been calling for...
The definition of genocide to be broadened at the...
Is there
a concern within Fine Gael that if Senator Francis Black's bill is to be proceeded with, that could maybe give us an awful tough time out in the White House?
The reason that it hasn't been progressed yet is down to
the
ICJ ruling.
Asked,
yeah, I know, but
is there a concern within Fine Gael about it?
Not that I am aware of, Gabby. I haven't heard that. That hasn't been circulated.
So the progression of the Occupied Territories Bill, I mean, at the moment it looks like it's goods only, not services, but, you know, that's the direction of travel at the moment. Better that than nothing?
Like, you know, this... Catherine has talked about, you know, it's completely false. Listen, I hope it is, but like, why are people drawing that conclusion? Is because these so-called legal grounds, like, they've never been fleshed out. They've never been articulated what the legal issues is. Like, if there are tweaks that need to be made, Frances herself says she has no particular objective to. I have no problem participating in that either. The issue is it's been very, very clear. He hasn't said it explicitly, but it is as implicitly as you can said that clearly services are out. That's about 70% of the trade that comes from the West Bank. And like, the context of this, why this matters, like, I mean, because sometimes we can maybe take too many steps back and people lose sight. It's the logic and conclusion of the International Court of Justice saying these settlements are illegal. They're completely illegal. Trade with them is illegal. And actually, in a year's time from the judgment, which is coming up in about a month, there's going to be a review of that. And there's going to be what a country is doing to give effect to this international law judgment that says the settlements are legal and trade with them is illegal. So it is the logical conclusion
of
that.
There's also the fact that they're not Israel, you know. So
precisely.
Why would it be covered?
Why
would it be covered by an existing trade agreement with Israel when the territories themselves are not Israel? Is the question that's been asked before? No, I'm not. I'm just saying that's an issue that.
Yeah. Well, yes, indeed, yeah. But the other thing, I do think sometimes, and I heard some remarks from TDs as well saying, like, you know, oh, well, look, I mean, is this going to save a single Palestinian life? Mm-hmm. Like, look, we're Ireland. We're not one of the big powers. Okay. That argument could be extended to any action that an Irish state can take. We're a small country. We have to take what steps we can. And this is certainly one we can show leadership.
Paul Murphy.
Yeah, I just want to really clarify why the idea that there's a legal problem with stopping trade in services with the occupied territories is nonsense. It's complete nonsense. And it has never been raised until a couple of weeks ago, suggesting that it's a legal issue. So the Attorney General produced advice to the last government. Again, that's been published by The Ditch. That makes no reference to a distinction between goods and services. Roderick O'Gorman, who was in that government, spoke in The Dáil today detailing precisely that. No reference whatsoever. And made clear that it would be a, quote, political choice and not a legally necessary one to ditch, not the goods and services distinction, but to not go with Francis Black's bill and amend it and instead do a new one. And crucially, the ICJ decision, which is what the government has hung its... It did a 180 on occupied territories bill.
The ruling by the ICJ that the settlements on the occupied West Bank are illegal.
Yeah, exactly. But it also ruled that because of this, all countries are obliged not to trade with them. The court said all states must, quote, abstain from entering into economic or trade dealings and, quote, prevent trade or investment relations with Israel. There's no distinction there in the ICJ ruling, which is foundational for the government's own argument, between goods and services. The only explanation is pressure from the US. Okay. And that is shameful. When a genocide is taking place, it's really shameful.
I want to let Catherine Callan just respond to that. We have to get to a few other issues on the programme.
My response to that is that, you know, through our diplomatic engagements, we actually have two pathways now to take an action. We have the pathway of enacting the Occupied Territories Bill that we're talking about, but we also have a stronger pathway now as well through the EU, you know, with the review that's launched into the EU-Israel agreement. You know, so, and I do think that as a group, the EU will be stronger. We will be stronger together in taking actions.
Do you think the warning shots issue on the occupied West Bank today will strengthen the case for that particular review? I mean, amongst the countries that had backed the review, which may have come as a surprise, was Austria, which had been a staunch defender of Israel up till now. But do you think more people might be minded to back that review given what happened today?
Yeah, I think so, because I think a line was crossed today.
Okay.